on the KSRO live line talking about the subject du jour. Aside from our health, this has got to be number one, getting back to school. Rick Phillips is here. He is the founder of Community Matters. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning, Pat. Nice to be with you.
Yeah, very good to talk with you again. And any help that we can give children and families and things like that on how to get back to work. What we understand about getting back to work in August or in Sonoma County, Rick, is that it will be a hybrid approach. Talk about how families can navigate that, again, not just the distance learning, but the part here and part there of it.
Thank you for the opportunity. I think most of us as citizens and parents and family members are concerned about the health and safety first and foremost of our children as they return to an uncertain environment called school. Schools will no longer look like they once did. And I think we need to think about three things, Pat. One is there's three audiences we need to be concerned about: the staff, the students, and their families. The reason I say those three is because they're the primary stakeholders that make up the population of a school. And I think all of us would agree, the last several months, those three audiences, like all of us, have been wounded, compromised, damaged by the virus, by the changes in our lives, the uncertainty, the political unrest, the economic challenges. We are in a world of hurt. So as we get ready to return to school, there is a tendency to focus on the operations, the schedule, the buses,
yeah,
the hybrid models, of course. And there is also a drive to get kids back into the curriculum so they can catch up. But Pat, let's remember, when people are hurting, job number one is they need to feel safe and connected. And the job of schools as students return is not to be so distracted by the schedule and not to forget that we've got some compromised young people and adults coming back with fear and uncertainty. So there has to be a plan, a social and emotional plan that provides the supports that people are going to need, because they're going to be frightened, they're going to be worried, they're going to be confused by the changes. That's what we're facing. And unless we're proactive, unless we design something to meet those needs as first responders, we'll end up doing a lot of cleanup and reactivity, which can create problems down the road.
And who should take part in that part of the plan, Rick? I mean, is it everybody, talking about educators and parents and children themselves? And it's, you know, you're right. A lot of people are just thinking about the nuts and bolts of it because, you know, lives, work lives, et cetera, depend on the nuts and bolts of it. But who needs to be responsible for that emotional aspect?
You described it quite well, Pat. I think it is a combination or a collaboration of those three audiences that the members of the school leadership team need to create almost a climate or social emotional learning committee made up of some family representatives, some young people, and of course staff members, so that this small cohort could sit around and discuss what are the best and most important things we can do. When young people get dropped off that first day and they're going to be worried, confused, there'll be lines on the floor, there'll be people wearing PPEs and masks.
Yeah.
It will not feel the same. So we need to think of ourselves as first responders almost in an emergency room, and that we have to make sure we have the attitude and the personnel who will know how to support not only the kids and their families, But Pat, what about the adults who often will be concerned about their own health? And are they going to get sick? Are they going to be infected? What are the concerns that they have? So there's a series of things that need to be done, that we can do, that we need to do. Because here's the deal. At the end of the day, our students don't care what we know until they know that we care. Connectedness.
That's, yeah.
Connectedness is everything right now because we're frightened.
And you're right. It is sort of like going in with a deficit, considering what the past several months have been like for most kids. And also, I would think, Rick, that in terms of approach and the emotional aspect of all of this, that approach would have to change depending on the age of the school children.
Absolutely. It's not a one-size-fits-all. But I think, Pat, if we were to, as we did, we've developed a kind of a social and emotional learning toolkit, a blueprint. So knowing that administrators, and I was a previous school principal and an assistant superintendent of schools, so I understand the complexities of what's being attempted here. But we've developed a kit so people don't have to reinvent a wheel. And that kit has some strategies and resources to really educate and equip bus drivers, cafeteria workers, frontline people, the attendance clerks, all the folks who are going to meet folks at the front door to really have their most customer-friendly, their most best communication skills. See, if we don't make it an intention and we don't give people professional development support, they will fall back on old patterns, and the old patterns will not meet the needs of the audience coming back.
And Community Matters, Rick, of course, the founder of that nonprofit organization, and has been very much focused on bullying in schools for many years now. And it sounds like a pivot of sorts for Community Matters this time around, Rick.
Well said, Pat. And we have been, for many years, very much excited and proud of the Safe School Ambassadors program that wakes up the courage of young people to speak up when they see their friends or classmates say or do hurtful things. It's that same attitude that who really affects the emotional climate of a school? It's the people in the building, the staff, the students, the workers, and their families that come to school. So we've always prided ourselves on equipping and empowering those three audiences to raise their game, to know how to be more effective in their communication. So they're not just a bystander and watch things happen, that they actually know what to say and do when they see trouble. And I bet you can imagine, as our listeners can, that there will be kids coming back who have come from difficult home environments. They're already compromised. Perhaps they've been food insecure. And they're going to walk into a building, and what they need to know is somebody's got their back.
Yep.
We're preparing the tools, the resources, the training, so that the bus driver, so the principal, so the social worker, so parents know how to ask good questions, how to be available to people, how to make themselves a resource to young people so they feel safe enough to come and get help. Otherwise, they may internalize a lot of stress, and you know when they do that, young people can hurt themselves, harm others, and we end up with incidents, and we don't want that to happen.
Yeah, and also there's that learning thing that we would like to happen throughout the course of this reentry program. Are you working with various facets of the schools at this stage, Rick? Because this sounds like a great product that you're offering up.
Yeah, the toolkit, we've had the opportunity, Pat, to do a couple of webinars. And we're speaking to Superintendent Steve Harrington next week about, you know, how we might support the county and the school districts in our community to take advantage of the resources we've built, some user-friendly strategies, some scripts for teachers to ask welcoming questions when kids go back in the room, to help them feel that this is a safe environment. You said it so well. We can't get to learning if we don't make people feel comfortable and safe first. Kids cannot respond to directions and academics if they're a deer in the headlights, if they're distracted by wonder and curiosity and confusion and stress. So we must take care of it, and we've developed a way, I think, that can help schools. And so to any listener out there, we certainly encourage you to let your schools know about Community Matters and our reentry social-emotional learning toolkit. We even make it possible, if you'd like, to help fund a school in your neighborhood to support the toolkit being implemented so more and more families, students, and staff can be safe and effective we would welcome your involvement.
Well, we think about, Rick, you know, getting back to school in the fall, late summer in our case, and that's usually challenging enough for kids. It's a different class, could be a lot of different schoolmates, could be a different school year, a different school entirely. So that's already built in a normal year. So just the time that it might take to adjust to these brand new rules with regard to children's health, things like that, that's just going to be an additional layer on what's already a kind of a tough thing walking in.
Exactly. And when you raise the bar, as you just described, Pat, then you need to raise your plan. You need to have a plan that responds to these new conditions. And I think because schools are struggling, just still trying to figure out when and how they open, they're not as focused on the social-emotional side. And you and I know, and our listeners know, that that's job number one, is to make sure that everyone feels safe, included, and connected. And when we do those things, and our toolkit helps to support that, then the students will be able to lean in, learn, get back to business, and thrive. And that's really what we're hoping for everyone.
Yes, we are, and we know there's going to be an initiation period, as we've been talking about, but after that, we hope that the conditions community-wide will allow kids to stay in school at least part of the time, and it would be great for everybody involved that that situation remain the same for the foreseeable future, so everybody can get used to the idea. The website is community-matters.org, and Rick, in about a minute or so, can you tell us what parents and educators will find there?
Thank you for asking. Well, what we've tried to do is provide a very friendly environment for people to visit, to learn more about what we can do as citizens, as family members, as young people, and as adults who work in schools. Each of us have a different role. And if we all focus, if we all put our attention, because what we put our attention grows stronger. What we practice grows stronger. What we focus on grows stronger. So families, students, staff will find at our website information, resources, videos, tools that can help them individually and, most importantly, how to access support. So each school has a robust social-emotional plan in place before the doors open. We'd like to help that happen.
Yeah, and I know the help will be appreciated, any help for sure. Now, if you can just start teaching meditation classes to parents, maybe everything would be okay.
Well said. We could all use a dose of mindfulness during these stressful times.
That is right. We'll keep bringing that up. Rick Phillips is the founder of Community Matters. Rick, thanks for being here.
A pleasure, and I appreciate very much the opportunity, Pat.
And again, that website is community.matters.org, and doing something of a pivot this year to help accommodate the different kinds of circumstances that kids are returning to school.